The Holy Gospel, according to John, the 20th chapter, glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today, our gospel and our reading from Acts have fire and breath. What a time to hear a gospel lesson about fire and breath. I wrote three sermons this week. Usually when I'm writing a sermon, if I feel pulled in a different direction, I think because of what's happening in the news or what's happening around us, I think, okay, I'm just going to sit down and I'll write another one. And it happened three times. And yesterday I was here writing a sermon in the afternoon. And I went home and I said, okay, this is perfect. This is just what I want to say. This is great. And then I turned on the news and I saw that there was a protest downtown La Mesa. And I hemmed and hawed about going and I thought, well, you know, if I went, what would that mean? And I went for a walk with Becky and I saw that the protesters spread from the police station down and blocked I-8. And then they were back at the police station and I prayed about it. And I thought, I don't know what to do right now. I want to do something, but I don't know what. And finally, at around 5:30, I put on my collar. I grabbed my prayer beads, which I have, and I have a prayer practice that goes with them. And I headed down to the police station, not quite really certain about what I was doing, but feeling called in that direction. And I parked there on Lemon Street, and I walked. And just as I got in sight of the protesters to be with them to pray, just as I was walking up, the police started releasing tear gas. And unfortunately, I was downwind. And so I got my first taste of tear gas yesterday in the evening. And I stayed there and I just witnessed and I stood there with my prayer beads and I prayed. And I was really grateful to learn in the paper this morning that there was another Lutheran pastor, our Missouri Synod colleagues, on the other side of where I was, standing by Christ Lutheran Church downtown, and that pastor was praying all day and all night, praying for the police and for the Black Lives Matter protesters, and through the evening for the people who were looting, praying for them. What a beautiful testament. I left, actually, as helicopters were circling around saying that they were going to start arresting people. I was not prepared to be arrested. And as I was there, I had people come up to me and say, "Pastor, will you pray for me? Will you pray for us?" And I said, "Yes, yes, what's your name?" So I had people give me their names, and I prayed for them by name. Fire and breath and prayer, actually. We don't really see the prayer part in our reading from Acts, but it's there. It's actually about two pericopes or two paragraphs earlier. We learn that after the ascension of Jesus, in this time when they've watched Jesus be murdered by the hands of the leaders, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the Roman guards, after they've witnessed their friend murdered, we learn that the disciples shut themselves in for prayer. And Jesus appears to them and they still pray. Jesus comes to them and shows them the wounds on his hands and feet, hands that were marked by the forces, the political and governmental forces. He shows them these markings. It says, peace, and they go back to prayer. Prayer is just infused in the book of Acts. Prayer and fire and breath. I'm struck by the fact that we get fire and breath here right now, because this is a time when our breath is the thing that's keeping us away from one another. Gosh, I almost forgot about the coronavirus this week. Our breath, Rich Durham and I learned this week in a meeting with Synod staff and Bishop Andy, our breath is the very thing that's keeping us from coming back into our building for worship with one another. Our breath is the thing that can hold the contagion of this virus, more so than surfaces or fluids. It's our breath. It's aerosolized oxygen that could contain bits of the coronavirus that is the most dangerous thing. Here we get breath on Pentecost. And here today, we learn that breath is dangerous. And fire. Yesterday, I couldn't help but notice the fire in my eyes, the fire in the eyes of people as they were protesting, the fire, the pain of fire on people's skin who got hit by rubber bullets just 5 or 6 miles from where I'm standing right now. The fire of cities. We heard from loved ones in Rochester this morning, in Toledo, Ohio, in Minneapolis, in Seattle. Fires are not just burning here in La Mesa, literally 5 miles away, but they're burning all around the country. What a day to hear of Pentecost, of this fire of the Spirit, of this breath of the Spirit, here and now, when our world seems consumed by the dangers of fire and breath. And in remembering this breath also, not only the danger, we're told in Acts that we have to prophesy. And in Ezekiel, that reminds me, Ezekiel sees the breath of God come to this valley of dried up bones, dead bones. And Ezekiel, the prophet, is told, prophesy to the breath. That means tell the truth about the breath. That means speak a word of God's truth to what's happening to the breath. And I would be totally remiss if I didn't prophesy to the breath in our world right now. Prophesy to the breath to tell the truth about the breath of George Floyd, whose last words this Memorial Day weekend were, "I can't breathe." Those words, unfortunately, are reminiscent of Eric Gardner's words in 2014. "I can't breathe," the final words. We as Christians were called to prophesy to the breath, tell the truth about the breath, because of what happens in John's gospel. Jesus comes in to a room full of people who are scared and afraid, and Jesus says, "Receive the breath of God. Receive the Holy Spirit." And it's not a wish. It's not a request. It's a command. Receive it. Take the breath, this holy breath that touches things. And when it touches things, makes those things that it touch holy. We as human beings are holy and sacred because we have the breath of God inhaling into our lungs. And John says, receive this breath. That's what Jesus says in John's gospel. And prophesy to it. Tell the truth about it. Notice when the breath is gone. Notice when it's taken unjustly. Notice when it's suffocated at the hands that are like the hands that crucified Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. There's probably just no better words for right now than Lord, have mercy. I'm struck here in our reading that we get this apocalyptic bit of text at Acts, right? In the last days, God says, it will be that I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Yesterday, when I was there among the crowds, I was immediately struck. Now, mind you, this is after the peaceful protesters have been gassed. I was immediately struck that these were people who were scared and angry and fighting to breathe and fighting to keep this pepper spray out of their eyes. But I was immediately struck by how scattered they were, and also how much this fire in their bellies consumed them. There was a lot of anger and there was a lot of hate, and it got pretty ugly, actually, after this pepper spray and tear gas came out. And I was heartbroken that here we have this desire of God that our young men would see visions and our old men would dream dreams. What a beautiful, and we could say men and women. We shouldn't just say it's young men and young old men. But that we would dream dreams. That we would dream dreams beyond having to be consumed by racism and white supremacy. That those of us who identify ourselves as people who are white by heritage, who can't do anything about it, that we would dream dreams alongside of our black and brown siblings in Christ and say, yes, we dream with you. We dream with you of a day when we are not consumed by these fires, when our bellies are not consumed by the anger and fire of this. We dream of that day. We want that day. We're a Pentecost people. We're a people who are people of the Spirit of God. In 1971, John Lennon was interviewed by Rolling Stone magazine, and he was asked about his guitar playing. And the interviewer said, are you as good a guitar player as George Harrison, you know, his friend from the Beatles? And John Lennon said, what kind of question is that? Come on. I'm an artist. You give me a tuba, and I'll bring you something out of it. And I can't think of a better description right now for the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an artist. The Holy Spirit is an artist that looks over a valley of dry bones and says, hey, dry bones, you give me a tuba, you give me some dry bones, I'm an artist. I'll blow across, and I'll bring you something out of it. In fact, the Holy Spirit looks at us and says, hey, a bunch of Lutherans. Huh, how interesting. I'm an artist. Give me some Lutherans and I'll do something with them. That's the Spirit. We are a Pentecost people who are called to be filled with the Spirit. And we're called to testify to the Spirit, to testify in prayer, to be changed by prayer. I can't get out of my mind the fact that our Lenten fast began, if you remember, with this prayer. We had purple bracelets on our hands, and somewhere between here and there, I cut it off, and we stopped meeting in person. But the prayer was, oh God, give me your heart. Oh Christ, teach me your way. Oh Spirit, breathe into me your peace. And I think we should resume that prayer practice together as a congregation, even as buildings downtown La Mesa, as the embers continue to spark, as they continue to smoke and give off flare. That's our prayer. That's our work. Oh God, give me your heart. Oh Christ, teach me your way. Oh Spirit, breathe into me your peace. Why? Because we are a Pentecost people. And that means that we're a people who have the capacity to acknowledge injustice. That we have the capacity to be haunted by this Holy Ghost who haunts us with realities of racism and white supremacy, that we don't look away, that we don't deny those things, that we don't say, oh, that's somebody else's problem, but that we say, yes, this is a genuine problem. And how do we respond? We respond with prayer. Oh God, make my heart your heart. Oh Christ, make my way your way. Oh Spirit, make my peace your peace. I have the suspicion that we're not through with these times of unrest. Certainly not through with these times of coronavirus. But God's not done with us. The prayer that we're given, the capacity that we're given on Pentecost to become a people for whom God is not done with. These apocalyptic texts here make it sound like it's the last days. No, no, no. Those are our days. And we, as a Pentecost people, become people who are given tools and the very breath of God to move through these days, to become witnesses to the truth of the fire and the breath that we receive on Pentecost. Siblings in Christ, I invite you into this time of prayer. I invite you to pray with me every day, multiple times in a day. Oh God, give me your heart. Oh Christ, teach me your way. Oh Spirit, breathe into me your peace. If you don't have other words of prayer, pray those words with me in this time. One of my favorite songs has this chorus. And the chorus goes, we pray that the world isn't dying. We say that the world isn't dying. Maybe the world isn't dying. Maybe. Maybe she's heavy with child. We are Pentecost people, which means that we have to believe that God is birthing something new around us. That God is doing something new around us. That God is present in spirit and in breath. We testify to the breath of police officers. We testify to the breath of Black Lives Matter protesters. And we even testify to the breath, to the sacred breath of those who decide that looting is their way forward. Yes, we have to do that. We have to pray for them. We're a Pentecost people, which means that we see the world is turning. We see the world is heavy with child. We see that there's a way forward and that God will accompany us in that way. Thanks be to God for this breath. Thanks be to God for this way. Thanks be to God for this heart that makes it possible. Amen.